I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with just a few of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Jimmy and Earl, drums and bass from UB40 joined us. They've got a new single with a Birmingham City theme. And they told us a bit about that. Jimmy was very funny about his old days of watching Birmingham City. What else did we have?
Simon Brodkin.
Simon Brodkin popped in, a man who's become huge around the world because of his social media presence. Comedian, of course. Always good to see him. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah. We had a couple of chats.
And what else happened?
Shreves, I think. Jess Shreves
came
in.
Yeah, he popped in. Yeah, he's got a new podcast. We had a little bit of that. One of his first one with Gary Neville. So that should do you, I guess. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And when Luis Diaz's dad was kidnapped, the club were tremendously supportive to Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
Didn't they? And when he was released, they brought him over here, the dad, and they made a big fuss of him. So it's very nice to read this today when his father told Spanish radio, Luis is playing well and Spanish clubs are always active in the market. We haven't lost hope yet of a move to La Liga.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
thanks.
You've got to keep other clubs on their toes, haven't you, really?
I thought it was a bit much myself.
You should link yourself to the Manchester United job. You might get your money up here from what Jamie Jackson was saying. It's a surefire way of doing it, isn't it?
Very nice of the Foreign Office to issue a European beer warning to the fans. I mean, who knew?
I never know. Honestly. I've never heard of German beer before.
Honestly, like, it won't make a blind bit of difference. I mean, to a group of lads going over to watch the Euros, they're suddenly going to, they'll be in a bar and the beers, and they go, oh yes, I remember that Foreign Office warning. Ooh, I must be careful.
It's not like the cooking lager we normally drink. This is a full 6% continental lager. Like, we've never heard of Kronenberg, except, which I know isn't German, but no, you get the idea.
You do.
Yeah.
Talking of Germany, the Duke of Kent, the royal patron of the British German Association, held a reception at St James's Palace. He only went because he thought Steffi Graf and Boris Becker were going to be there.
Yeah, because he likes tennis. It's one of Andy's oldest tropes that he goes for every time. Now, Emil Heskey's coming on today.
Good.
And not, believe it or not, the way we sometimes read it out, we just write a little four-line intro just to get us into the show. Then the rest of it is top of your head, obviously. Which is probably more understandable considering the output. But every time I tried to key in for the intro, Emil Heskey, I got Emily Heskey. It was not having Emil. So I've now put it in the memory for the next time I have to type it in. But every time it was Emily.
Mm.
So I would imagine quite a few of the listeners out there, maybe with a slightly unusual name or one that's close to another one, maybe get a bit of mail now and again, or emails especially.
Do you think there is somebody called Emily Heskey?
There possibly is. I mean, I would imagine somewhere along the line on fantasy football, our mate Spencer Millman, the producer of the recent show, would have found her.
Absolutely.
But I'll have a look, says Andy. Okay, let's have a look now. Emily Heskey, is she out there? No, you just go straight to Emil. But anyway, the point is, if this does happen to you, tell us your stories and in what circumstances this afternoon. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J or 03717223344. Now, the cricket, the IPL yesterday, was absolutely nuts, wasn't it?
It was off the scale, a
record-breaking score, wasn't it, by Sunrisers Hyderabad. 277 for three.
Mm.
Just mad. How many runs scored in total, was it?
523 or 40 overs.
God, that's mad.
Mumbai replied with 246 for five. Who'd be a bowler, really?
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is that there's a lot of franchise cricket around the world, but the IPL, you know, is the one.
It was 263 for five, wasn't it? Wasn't it
263?
No, 246 for five. Oh, okay, sorry. Fair enough. So we were going back to the old days when they first played limited overs cricket. And in 60-over games, I mean, this is 20 overs, in 60-over games, what were the average scores?
180, 200.
Great, isn't it?
They got a run of ball. 60 overs. They thought they were doing well, you know.
No one would turn up now. That was the height of cricketing excitement in those
days.
Actually,
run of ball would have been quite a lot in 60.
Yeah, it probably would have been, yeah. So, on the cricket front, Andy, you had some crackpot idea. I don't know where you got it from.
Well, because I was walking along and I saw a bloke with the initials PH on the back of his football shirt. And I thought, what if his name's PH Balance? And I thought, that'd be a great name for a cricketer, PH Balance, Gary's brother.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And then I came up with, from the pavilion end, FT Index.
Shouldn't you have three initials to be a proper cricketer?
Well, possibly, but I don't think it'll work if you do that.
No.
PR Guru.
Oh,
he's playing in the IPL.
He'd
be tremendous.
Good, wouldn't he? PR Guru would be fantastic.
And UB Forte.
Oh. So, like Rocco's brother.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then if you must, I mean, he's kind of effectively a Friday with a bank holiday tomorrow. We can bring in games. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. Sad news today about the passing of Larry Lloyd.
Yeah.
A tremendous player. Much decorated, of course, certainly during his time at Nottingham Forest. I was once told a story of somebody went up to the bar. I can't remember what part of the country it was in, but obviously it was where Larry was living at the time. And football was on, and he was watching a bit of football on the telly, having a beer. And this bloke went up to the bar, and Larry was chatting to the barman, sort of talking about the game, talking about what was going wrong, what was going right, what he'd do differently. And this lad sort of engaged him in a bit of conversation. And then he went back to his mates and he said, well, the old big fella, he thinks he knows about football, doesn't he, at the bar? And he said, well, yeah, he probably does. He won two European Cups, mate, so he knows a lot more than you do. But
it's
true. What a fantastic defender he was. And then went on to Liverpool and had a fantastic career, but sad news today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Making a welcome return to the studio is comedian Simon Brodkin. Simon, good afternoon. Good
Always
to see
great
you.
Great to be back.
Yes,
the best viewed studio. The view out here
is pretty amazing.
I thought you were going to say the best show. Thanks.
But yeah, well, it's the best
combo.
View.
It's a combo. This is the best love view of any radio show on air.
Now, Simon, you are off to do some gigs in the States. You're playing both coasts, I understand. Is that right?
Yeah. This is really exciting. This is part of the Screwed Up Tour, which has exploded, with dates popping up left, right and centre. I just sold out the Apollo on Saturday, which was a buzz.
Fantastic,
to be honest.
Yeah.
That was nice, wasn't it? Yeah. Like 4,000 people. You always compare your crowds to what level of football you're at. And I'm a home crowd of 4,000, where am I?
I'm trying to think.
Pretty
you're probably,
good.
I'm not, you're not
in,
bad.
You're in what, you're in League One, other levels of League
harsh.
Two. I mean, I'll be just, well, it's 4,000. It's not being harsh. He's asking what the crowd is. You mean in relation to
what? In what football, yeah.
Or are you asking to me to scale it up? To
No. I'm
club.
Saying
no, I'm
if
thinking
I...
of scaling it up.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
It was weird when they all started charting the referees. That was a real buzz on Saturday. And then there's dates cropping up all over the UK. There's another Apollo. And then LA, New York.
Now, this is because I'm sure a lot of the listeners know you've become pretty huge across all kinds of social media, especially sort of TikTok, etc.
TikTok and Instagram.
Instagram.
It's pretty cool.
And
isn't
by
it?
Putting out clips, and that gives you a bit of a global reach. So these American gigs have come
but
about
with brilliant
through
that, captions, so you can watch it like without anybody knowing watching it.
Yes, I mean, it's not dirty
like
stuff.
It's
I'm putting
like
up,
a,
by the way.
Like it's a guilty
under,
secret.
I'm under the covers and I'm watching it. It's on a broken stuff. Stand-up clips. So I started off, I think, when was it? Just after lockdown? Just before? Who knows?
Was it a deliberate strategy, though? Or did you think, oh, it's not a bad idea just to put a few bits out because it'll, you know?
Yeah, it was a bit of a toe in the water. Hmm. It was a bit of a, let's see, because I'd always done the characters, Jason Bent, Lee Nelson, and then the stunts in character, and then I filmed some stuff at a club in South London up the creek and put a couple of clips out, and I wasn't sure, you know, it was a very new thing for me and people loving it. People watching under the covers like
but it's like having a whole new career. It's
a lot of people don't know any of the stuff,
because it would have been a bit of a, because you know, when you've been a character comedian, you've built up these characters that people like, and you had successful TV series. Lee Nelson was a sort of great running, you toured with it, And then, you know, we spoke at the time, then suddenly you got to go out there and you kind of bear all. It's very different when it's just you with a microphone gags. You can't...
It's very different.
Not hiding, I wouldn't say hiding behind the characters, but you
know
what
I mean. It's a little
bit
like that. I was laughing at Bear All because I remember me and you worked on a Jason Bent show where I literally did Bear All.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I went to the door fully naked.
We had a Dan James moment. We asked you.
I had to buy a round of drinks for all of our squad. I think that's part of the reason why I never went into the first game, because I found it easier to hide, pretend, you know, to put on the cap, put on the accent, or put the hair into a nice Jason Bent thin haircut.
There must have been one hell of a conversation and whack on the cologne. After decades of marriage, it was more interesting than extra time.
You know, even as the stunts, you know,
says Jamie,
I was giving Sharon all the banknotes over Sepp Blatter. That was actually, you know, the story. I'm there as Jason Bent, being the ambassador for the World Cup 2026 bid in North Korea. So me stepping out of character was definitely like that. That was the hardest thing, I think, that I've done. Forget being a dad.
Yeah.
Forget giving birth. I don't know what it's like, but I bet you it's not as hard as me being on stage as myself. Yeah, it's really cool as well, because you can talk about anything, you can go anywhere, and you can and once you've got your head around it, it opens up everything.
I suppose that in terms of the material, it's got to be pretty universal, because if it's gonna, I mean, you know, you're probably
there's
writing
a lot of
stuff
observational that you think
is funny,
isn't it?
But it's if it's got legs beyond this country, that helps, doesn't
big
it?
Big time. When you first start doing it, honestly, I have little thoughts like, are my thoughts just totally mad?
Yeah.
Or do other people think like that? Well, it turns out quite a few million people agree with some of my thoughts. So it's they are universal stuff. I'm not going on there on some big polemic about, you know, I'm not ranting like a political comedian, but I do talk about politics. I mean, I'm slagging them all off is what I'm trying to do.
You did a job interview with Liz Truss. That was very funny.
Oh, yes. That was what I say about Liz Truss shouldn't be counted as a prime minister. Just go down a bit of work experience.
Yeah.
And her coming into her next job interview. Oh, thanks for coming in, Liz. I can see from your CV you were Prime Minister of Britain. Well, from October to October. And then he went on to become assistant manager at Nottingham Pure Gym. So, it's a lot of fun. You can talk about things. You can, you know, when I'm talking about my family there, they're the real family that I've got to go home and embrace, having just maybe bad-mouthed on stage for a couple of hours previously. So it's really cool. It's really cool.
We were just saying that we're just talking about the fact that there's a lot going on in the world of TV and stuff maybe not getting made as much as it was, and things like social media give comedians the chance to go on there, do what you've done, put your clips up in some cases, like your old mate Charlie Baker, do a whole special that's going to be up there on YouTube that you've got control over. No one's telling you lose that gag, put that one in, or burying you in the schedule so no one ever watches it. So you've got that control. But we were just saying, what would happen if Ant and Dec decided not to do I'm a Celebrity? And I think there's only one man brave enough to step into the shoes, and that would be David Moyes, we were saying, wasn't it?
I think David Moyes should take
that
job.
The way he did with Fergie, the man that was bold enough to do that.
That's all from us. Now over to David. I said, I'm changing the tactics here. I think it'd be a lot harsher. With some of the failed contestants, but Ant and Dec, they are still sort of keeping the flag flying for television, aren't they?
Still in work.
Maybe when they finish their last show, they're just going to shut down television.
They probably will.
That's it.
Just go to that little white dot we used to have when I was
still
a
watch
kid.
It, I think, probably.
That's right.
But it is great that people can whack up stuff on social media.
Yeah,
it's a meritocracy. You can put up what you like,
and people
like it, and they give you a thumbs up or a follow. And you're on from there. Next thing you know, you're boarding a plane to LA and playing, which is exciting.
That's right.
It'd be great if Sepp Blatter bought a couple of tickets to the Apollo.
I mean, it'd be nice if you could go and play.
You with money.
You could go and play in Switzerland. And because you're doing well now, Brodkin. Starts lobbing money at you.
I would welcome him. I'm sure he would find a way of getting a free ticket.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I got, you talk of Ant and Dec, I got turned down to go on I'm a Celebrity, and they said I'm not famous enough, and it always comes into my mind when I was in that,
when I was in that
Zurich police station,
yes,
after throwing all the notes over Sepp, and I was dragged to the the police cell in downtown Zurich, which was gorgeous, by the way. It was absolutely stunning. And the night of the stunt, I'm there, and they're showing me photos, videos from websites around the world of the stunt.
Yeah.
And they were so proud of me, and I was like the most famous person in Switzerland. And I thought, hey, you see? You see, I'm a celebrity. Look where I'm at. I could walk onto the Swiss version.
Yeah.
They don't make it. They did.
They don't do it.
I think
a version.
They did one series, two contestants, Roger Federer and some Toblerone. And
that's all they had.
That
would be lineup. It's going very well, but if it went ridiculously well and you were this massive global superstar, what a great show it would be. Theresa May could wander on. You could be all the pranks coming back to bite you on the
brilliant.
Backside.
That Absolutely
would be a
brilliant.
Donald Trump throwing loads of golf balls on the stage. Philip Green writing stuff down the
on
side
my private
of your
yacht.
That would be great.
I tell you what, if anyone touches my private yacht, I'm not going to go easy like Green. I'm fire hosing them down.
Have you left, because of the way things are going, have you left the pranks behind? If you always have in the back of mind, you think, you know what, I'd love to do that or not. They're on the back burner now.
Yeah, good one. I mean, during COVID, it was kind of, it was illegal to get within 2 metres of someone. So it's, unless you like Hannah P45 on a litter picker thing,
it became
a harder task. Mm. You know what? The moment the stand-up is just exploding,
sure.
And that is amazing. I think the chances of doing another prank just before heading out to the States with the visa in the balance, it's already... I mean, when they handed over that visa,
idea.
I was like, thank goodness the people decided
You've spent a few hours at times in various jails, but you've said the police... I mean, that time when you went with the England players and tried to get on the plane to go,
that
to,
was
the,
good.
To, go to the World Cup
yeah,
in Europe.
Which your, I still maintain I would have improved the squad.
Yeah.
The
police thought it was... I mean, they probably wouldn't say that, but they thought it was quite funny.
The police have been great to me. The police have been... Honestly, the police... After I threw the golf balls over at Trump, with a certain symbol on them, shall we say, as he was opening his golf course, and all these different law enforcements like start surrounding me and like basically trying to nab me, taking credit. It was the Scottish police that got to me.
Yeah,
and I remember they chucked me in this van, and I'm sat there absolutely scared as anything. I'm in handcuffs. They've arrested me. An hour later, this burly armed Scottish officer just yanks open the police van door and just points to me and goes, "Yous mate are very, very funny." And it was like then he loosened my handcuffs, gives me a bit of iron brew. It was an amazing moment.
So go and check out simonbrodkin.com. All the dates are there. If you are in LA or in Brooklyn in New York, go and see Simon. 9th of April in LA, 30th in Brooklyn, and then from 16th of May he's all around the country. I'm sure he'll be coming.
Theresa May, welcome. There is a policy in they know this. If you have been stunted by me, you do get in half price.
Well, he lives in New York, Donald, doesn't he? So he'll probably come and see you. And that extra gig at the Apollo is the 29th of November in London. But all the dates on simonbrodkin.com. Good to see you, Simon. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you, guys. As I always say, pleasure to be on the best view
of any radio show in the country. We did win an award.
That's our selling point. That's it.
Cheers. Trophy cabinet.
Cheers, Simon. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, guys. What?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Still strong. We keep right on forever.
That is food for thought, of course. You probably recognise the tune by UB40, one of their biggest hits in the early days. But what you didn't hear at the top of that reworking of the song, because the lyrics are different, is that Birmingham City fans have been singing the saxophone riff from that song for quite a long time at games. And so UB40 have got together, as we said, reworked the song Food for Thought, Forever True, and joining us from the band, drummer Jimmy Brown and bass player Earl Faulkner. Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon. Cool.
Are you both blues fans? I take it you are.
Yeah, we were both born just down the road here in Small East. The blues used to be called Small East Alliance, was the original name of the team. I used to walk to the match, you know, just round the corner. My dad used to take me when I was, 7, 8, 9 years old. I hated it. could smell the old men and pies. But, you know, it was nil-nil every week, of course. Mm. And, yeah, it put me off football for a while, actually. But, you know, you've got no choice, have you? If you're born in the shadow of St Andrews, you know, you've got to support Blues.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I used to come when I was a kid, but I used to sneak in with my best mate, Brian, who was the saxophone player who actually came up with the riff for his report. Mm. God bless him, he's gone to the saxophone heaven in the sky. But we used to sneak in every Saturday. And it wasn't until we started the band, like, you know, 15 years into our career, that we found out that Brian's a Villa fan.
Oh, that's right. There you go. Brian came in and saw us a few years ago. He's a big TalkSport listener and was very kind about the show. And he was telling us about his love of Villa. That's right. He kept that quiet. It's it must be a real buzz though, Jimmy. I would think to hear the fans of the club that you know you follow singing the tune from one of your songs.
It's amazing, yeah. And I was here a few months back when we actually won a game, and the whole crowd were singing this tune, you know. And we knew they were doing it. We've seen clips before, but to actually be here in the ground and to be surrounded by people that are singing your tune, it's like there's on the back of your neck, stand up, you know. It was a beautiful moment. So we've decided that we were going to adapt that and make a new song for the team.
Yeah, so it was out. I was going to watch it this morning, and I found myself watching the actual premiere. We had a countdown for the first time it was played. Mm. 8 o'clock this morning, and the new video. So, but it's part of quite a lot of stuff you're up to at the moment, Earl, isn't it? You've got a gig at St Andrews, and you've got a new album out as well.
Yeah, we've got a new album out. We've had a couple of singles out. We've got a gig on Monday in the ground after the game for the fans, and we're going to kind of preview the first time we, you know, perform the tune live and everything. So it's going to be quite. Yeah, it's going to be quite amazing.
Really. Exciting, yeah. I mean, we did play here many years ago, 1989, I think it was, where we actually got a chance to play the stadium here, and we had about 30,000 people here, and it was a fantastic gig. So I'm looking forward to doing it again, however many years later. It's going to be fun.
You'll be hoping they can get a win, I would imagine, won't you? Pressing at home.
Got everything crossed, got my feet crossed, got everything on my toes.
And QPR tomorrow, as we spoke to Dan.
Yeah, that's right. So UB45 is the new album, and you're touring as well, fellas, is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to rehearsals tomorrow. Like I say, we're starting to do shows now. So the first one's going to be the Blues, and then we go to Portugal, then we go to America for 7 weeks. And basically, we're going all around the world again this year. It's going to be one of our busiest years for a while.
Fantastic.
So, we're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Well, look, enjoy Monday and best of luck with the album. And I'm sure the fans will embrace the song, the reworking of
it's catchy
song.
As anything in it.
Absolutely.
Mean,
And the album's out on the 19th of this month.
Excellent.
Let people know.
Yeah, and the Birmingham's official Twitter put out a thing about it as well.
They have. I don't think the Villa fans will be singing it, boys, but the Birmingham City fans will be definitely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We are joined by the former Sky Touchline reporter. He's launched a new podcast. It is Jeff Shreves. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Andy. Good to see you both.
Yeah,
good to be back.
Good to see you. Now, this is not just a football podcast, because you brought something else, another one of your great loves, into the mix, haven't you?
Yeah, as you boys both well know, you've both attended and always support us with Legends of Football, which I must also give a plug to today. October the 7th this year, and we're delighted to say our guests on the night are Wayne Rooney and Farrah Williams. They are our legends this year.
This is a nod off Robinson.
Yes, yeah. So as you know, Legends of Football, we've raised nearly £8.5 million now for Nordoff and Robbins Music Therapy. And the idea of the new podcast, Football, Music and Me, is to really, it's an extension of that. As we all know, there's great synergy between football and music. Mm. And so I thought, okay, why don't we have a little chat to a few people? But now, as you said, Paul, there's a lot of football podcasts out there at the moment. But let's flip this around a little bit. So we'll talk to football people about music. We'll talk to music people about football.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. And then see where it expands from there.
Well, we're going to play a little clip. We've got a clip from the first episode. Gary Neville is the first person you've had a chat to.
I've got a feeling I know what you're going to play.
In Football Music and Me. And Gary was talking about his interesting superstitions.
I used to wear the same coloured underpants every game during my career.
Same coloured or same pair?
No, same coloured.
Red?
I used to say, Jim...
What colour were they?
White.
Why?
So just because it's something I did. Same tube of grip, same tape. The physios knew it. I used to put the same underpants on, go to the same toilet to read the programme, even though sometimes I didn't need the toilet. In the players' lounge for every United game, there were same seat on the coach next to Bex. I never shifted. There were things I did that were part of my routine. And Jim Ryan once said to me, it's really interesting that the whole success of Manchester United depends on the colour of your underpants.
Do you think if Pep or Jurgen or Arteta's listened to this day, as we reach this tremendous climax of the Premier League season, they think, right, small percentage gains. Yeah. Lads are going to wear white slips.
It's funny you should say that, because one thing I've noticed about Pep Guardiola, and I've said this before on the show, when they get a penalty, City can't look.
No.
It's like a superstition. You think, you control absolutely everything. Why would you think that would make a blind bit of difference that you don't look? But it's amazing, isn't
it's
it?
It's very strange. But Gary did talk about music. He talked about playing on stage with the Charlatans, didn't he?
Yes. He described his guitar. I mean, first of all, he said it's the most nerve-wracking thing he's ever done. Forget, he's played in front of 100,000 people. He's won every trophy imaginable. And he still found it ridiculously awkward. I said, what was your playing style like? He said, the same way as I ski. Same as I do. He said, sort of stiff and square. So he's not claiming any great musical prowess, but he does love his football. And he had a good story about how one moment connects two of the most important moments in his life. Mm-hmm. One piece of music connects both moments. He said, when we left school, we're all sat, you remember that last day at school, you're all sat outside on the grass with your mates. Mm. He said, and James, Sit Down was playing. He said, and then all those years later, we've won the Champions League. And there it is. We are sat there in front of our fans, sat on the turf, and there you go. They're playing James once again.
And we said, it's not just the first. You've put a few episodes in the bank. You've got Serge Pisano from Kasabian coming up, and Vinnie Jones as well, you've had a chat with.
Vinnie was really good. We were really keen to get to the original Crazy Gang, because they are the club. If you talk to anybody in the game, they will say first to have music in the dressing room was Wimbledon. And I think it's fair to say it wasn't exactly universally popular.
No, it was loud.
With the opposition. He tells great stories about various opposing managers went to huge lengths to get it not played at all. Terry Venables got all the fuses taken out of the sockets in the dressing room. So they turned up with batteries. They were never going to be outdone. So yeah, it's been fun, and I think what people find enjoyable about it is it's a window into that person's life, if you like, and the soundtrack to their life, what sort of music they like, and why they like that sort of music. That's what's behind it.
You probably might find some quite interesting stuff. You know, you'll probably find the least likely people are into their opera and stuff like that. You probably will turn up some interesting musical taste that you wouldn't expect, I guess.
Well, I won't say too much, but we've got one or two leads that go exactly down that route. And you'll be surprised as to what people like. But, you know, I think virtually everybody likes music. What intrigues me is to what the music they like is exactly why they like it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, what's your thing, Jeff, then? What sort of stuff do you listen to?
Oh, I'm so eclectic. I will listen to anything. Do you know what? I can't wait for tomorrow, Beyonce's album dropping, because she's done a country and western album.
That's right, yeah.
And it's this, you know, could be absolutely sensational. Equally, I like Rolling Stones and old school as well, so right across the board. I like everything.
You got any other football managers that you did sort of battle with over the years coming on somewhere down the line?
Yeah, yeah. Glenn Hoddle. I mean, we all know about Glenn and his singing. There's not many people who've played for England, managed in the Premier League and been on Top of the Pops, is there?
So not many.
He talked to that. He's a really good singer, Glenn, as well. He said to us as well, he is non-stop. He said, all the cars I've ever owned, I've never heard the engine. I couldn't tell you what it sounds like. As soon as I get in the car, music goes on. Then David Moyes was great fun. Really, really good fun. Even sang on the podcast.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. David Moyes sings.
David Moyes sings.
Yeah.
And he told a really interesting story about how much he credits an evening of music with winning West Ham's first European silverware for over 40 years. So it's also about the power of music as well. So, yeah, it's been good fun so far. And I'm hoping it's the sort of thing that people like.
So I take it the first one's out now, is it?
Yeah, launched today. Gary's out today.
Right.
It is available on Spotify and Apple. And also all episodes will be shown on the Overlap channel.
Oh, okay.
So there's plenty of places to get it. And it's a big footballing weekend this weekend, is it? Yeah, so if people on the way to the game, they might want to listen to Gary talking about his underpants.
Football Music and Me, it's called. And yeah, you can go and listen and subscribe and check it out. And as Jeff said, it's on YouTube. So are you able to, after all these years, you get into some games now? You get into matches?
Yes, yeah. I'm going to the game on Sunday. I'm at the Etihad. I'm doing a lot for CBS in America. I'll be covering the Euros with Fox. I'm involved in a youth podcast called Team Tacker for Niall Quinn. That's also in America as well. So I've got a number of different projects as well, which I'm really enjoying. But you've got to stay within the game because I just love the game too much well. Yeah. And this keeps me in the game, but also expands a little bit into music too.
Good stuff. Well, Jeff, lovely to see you.
Yeah, lovely.
My great pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We wish you well with the podcast, Football Music and Me. Go and check it out. And yeah, we'll catch up with you soon. All the best.
Thank you, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Bizarre idea. I don't know where it came from. What was the kickoff point for this odd
cricket
team?
Had PH on the back of his football shirt.
Yeah.
Like initials. So I thought, PH balance. And then I thought,
that would be a good cricketer.
Yeah.
Some people have come up with some stuff. What else have we got? It was coming. MCC Laws. From the pavilion end.
That's good.
That would be, there must be someone out. That would be a corker, wouldn't it?
Richard Aldridge got in touch with me. He said, AC Milan. You see, that's quite
good. That's pretty good. Yeah, that would have worked. We also, what other ones have we got? BB Gunn says Martin. I don't know what Brian Gunn's middle name is, and if it is, that would be perfect. If it was a B, wouldn't it? PPI Refund from the Pavilion End.
PPI Refund.
Not a bad one. What about the ex-Cambridge Universities and Middlesex player from the 1930s, CCTV footage, says Michael in Durham.
That's excellent.
Thank you, Michael, for that. The Bobbin Arbroath is staying up in Scotland, has been in touch. And where's it gone? He had quite a good one, if only I could find it. Can't find it anywhere. Oh, yeah, MFI Sophus. Like Gary, yeah, Gary's brother. Sofas. Gary Sofas.
Brother, MFI.
That would be it. We also asked you, because when we got Emil Heskey on earlier on, I did a little intro for him appearing. And every time I keyed in Emil, the word Emily appeared on the page because the old predictive text was changing it every time. And I'm sure Emil gets letters now and again to Emily Heskey. So we're asking if you have similar situations like that. This one comes, it says, my ex-wife's surname was double-barreled, Angus Smith, and I lost count of the amount of times that one of the G's, or the G, suddenly went missing.
Oh, no.
It could not have been a coincidence. Very funny for me, Not so much for her, he says. So thanks for those. What else have we got for you? Yep, used to live with my friend Steve, who arranged the gas/electricity bills. Mm. When giving his details over the phone, he explained that his name was Stephen with a PH. The first bill we received was addressed to Stephen, or spelt P-H-E-V-E-N. Mm. Beautiful. That's Kieran in Bromley. Thank you very much for those. So you can keep those coming. Andy building this crackpot cricket team. Talksport.com, text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, to get in touch this afternoon. Anything else, Andy?
Well, just that you heard the, in the extra podcast, a little thing about readers' trousers.
I know you're a big fan.
Yes, but this week it's a pack of three boxer shorts.
Oh, nice.
And honestly, they are. They're very nice.
Okay, talk us through them, Andy.
They're a classic design with a lined front piece for support without compression.
That's the last thing you want, compression, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be good.
Okay.
But there we go.
That's it,
That's it. Well, they're only the boxer shorts. The other is a T-shirt.
Okay.
An absolutely bog-standard plain T-shirt. And they go...
Yeah, that's not how they sold it, is it?
No, they went...
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, it is. It's just a plain block-colour T-shirt.
I would definitely sack the copywriter if what it said on the page was an absolutely bog-standard plain T-shirt. Could be yours.
Great design. It's just a plain colour.
It's got a little logo on it, hasn't it?
Well, tiny little logo. Yeah, but it's not, it doesn't qualify as a great design. What more could you ask for? I don't know, win the lottery?
it's all relative, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I know.
What more could you ask for than five plain T-shirts for under 20 quid? Well how long have you got, mate?
That's true.
Engage me in that conversation and I'll run through everything that I could want more than that. Yeah, okay. Bit harsh. Right, and I'm sure, you know, they're just flogging T-shirts, Andy.
Yeah,
no one else apart from you dwells on it to that extent. So we're going to be finding out about a story from Belgian football that's caused a bit of a fracas, hasn't it? It's cost a manager his job. Mm. No one likes to see a kind of game carved up by two teams, but that's what's happened in Belgium.
It's amazing they thought they could do this and get away with it. It's incredible.
That's right. The old integrity of the game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, that's us for a few days because we've got a full programme of EFL action on TalkSport on Friday and Monday. So massive games to bring you live, and Adrian will be around the grounds from one, as he would be at a weekend. So we're back with you on Tuesday, myself and Perry Groves.
Yes.
And you'll be back, Andy, on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Brilliant. Do hope you can join us. Have a fantastic Easter and enjoy all the live sport on TalkSport.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.